the Lord. Everybody excited? Okay, that's what we need. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. He's good. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans, book of Romans, chapter 13. Just a couple of verses. Say amen when you get there. Say amen if you don't have your Bible. Romans chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 7. And would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So today, this weekend, we're celebrating Memorial Day, and it's time to remember the men and the women that died fighting for our freedom. In Veterans Day, we celebrate all the people who served in the military, but Memorial Day, we celebrate and we remember the ones that died. When we was kids, it was called Decoration Day. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
That dates you. But now it's Memorial Day. Hallelujah. So well, we just want to, remember them this weekend. You know, a lot of times there's a day set aside for something, but it's become just another day. A day to be off of work or whatever, instead of focusing on what it was really meant to be. So we just want to remember that. And Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for all those that died, Father. God, that we can have freedom, Lord God. God, we take so much for granted, Father. But God, we just thank you, Father. We just ask you, Lord God, to bless the families, Lord God, that have sacrificed when they lost somebody in battle, Father. And God, we just trust that you will bless them, Father. And God, we ask, Father, that God, as we look into your word, Father, God, that you'll open your word, Lord God. God, you will help us, Father, to grow in you, Father. And God, we don't want to be the same, Father. We want to grow in you. We want to change from glory to glory. And Father, we ask that you would just open our minds, Lord God, to receive your word, Father. Let Holy Spirit, make the word of God come alive today. And may we be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm going to start in verse 1, and you'll see where I'm going after I've read a few verses. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were deported from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build you houses, and dwell in them,
and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them, take you wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughter, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that are in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Now the next verse, Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to read out of God's Word translation. And here's how it reads. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Now we know Jeremiah 29:11, right? We understand that. Well, that's God's plans for us today. A future filled with hope. How many like that? Hallelujah. Well, here, Jeremiah, the people were in Babylon in captivity, which we've been talking about for a few weeks. And they were taken into captivity because of sin. And so, they're at this time, Jeremiah sent this letter to encourage the people. You know, we know of Jeremiah as a weeping prophet, but he was also encouraging the people. And he said, after 70 years, you're going to return to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The title of the message. And the title of the message is God's plan for your/his temple. You know, Paul said that our bodies are the temple of God, but we've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own, right? Hallelujah. So, God's plan for your/his temple is completion. God wants to take us to completion. He don't want to leave us hanging, half-baked, whatever. So we finally get back where we were to the book of Ezra. And we talked about the first group that came back to Jerusalem from Babylon under the leadership of Zerubbabel. And they were there for one purpose. And what was that? Rebuild the temple. Yes. Everything had been destroyed. Jerusalem had been just totally annihilated. And so they come back and there's rubble. There's just nothing there to work with. But they came back. God told them to come back and rebuild the temple. And we talked about how the temple, the physical temple there, was like a parallel to, like Paul said, we're the temple of God, and it's a parallel. And so as we look at things that happen, how many know that things that happen in the natural are like a mirror to things happening in the spirit? See, we can't normally see into the spirit realm. Some people can see into the spirit realm good. Some get a glimpse every once in a while. And some of us, well, we're working on it. We want to get to that place, right? Where God can just take us right in. Hallelujah. So, as we look at rebuilding the temple and rebuilding our temple, You know, when we come to Christ, we're a mess. Come on, admit it. We're broken. We're shattered. Not much left. But, you know, God don't need a lot to work with. If we just give it to Him, He'll do it. Hallelujah. So we see about rebuilding the temple as they rebuilt the physical temple. It's like restructuring our lives. And we talked about God being a God of order. He wants order in our lives. He don't want our lives to be disorganized, all bent out of shape, so to speak. He wants to restructure our whole life, spirit, soul, and body. And sometimes it's like an extreme makeover. How many think that God had to do an extreme makeover in your life? I got both hands on. Yeah, hallelujah. But if we're open to God, if we seek God, if we desire God, He will show us things that need a little work done on them. This area, that area, you know, little adjustment, some changes, maybe some restructuring. We talked about as they went to build the temple, God said, wait a minute, build the altar. Build the altar first. And so we saw how they were obedient and they built the altar for sacrifice. And the altar was like a type of worship. God wanted worshiped. Before you even start to build, God says, worship. Worship me. You know, many churches today don't have altars. Or they don't have altar calls. Everybody's too big of a hurry. Gotta go. But, you know, God wants our beginning and He wants our end. And we're His. It's a matter of how bad do we want God? How many people think you've missed God because you didn't wait just a little bit? When you were seeking God and He was just ready to move, and we had everything planned out and we said, I gotta go. And God says, I was just ready to pour my spirit out on you. We don't like to think that way, do we? But I wonder. Hallelujah. God wants to be the first and the last. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we got to abide. We talked about they was finally ready to start building the temple. They built the altar. They was ready to build the temple, and God said, build the altar. And so now they're ready to build the temple, and God says, I want praise. I want you to praise me. I want you to take time and just praise me. You know, God loves our praise. The Bible said that He inhabits the praises of His people. How many want God to inhabit what you're doing while you're doing what you're doing? Whether it's working, whether it's playing, whatever it is. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that God's in it with you? He said, just praise me. Just praise me. And so then they laid the foundation. We talked about the foundation. If you're going to build your temple, if you're going to build God's temple, our body, you're going to have a good foundation. And there's only one foundation that you can have to build on, and that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the rock of our salvation. How many are thankful for salvation? Hallelujah. And after the foundation was laid, what'd they do? They praised God. They praised before they started. They praised God when the foundation was laid. And they worshiped continually. I think that's what God wants. Hallelujah. So I want you to look at the goal of completing the temple as God's destiny for your life. How many know that God has a destiny for you? The Bible says that before any of us was even born, He wrote down our destiny. He wrote down all the things that He wanted in our life. Now I know some of us have destroyed some of those things. But God has a destiny for us. God has a plan for our lives. For every one of our lives, God has a plan. And so, we see that God's plan is completion. God wants us to be whole. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the devil may have lost you when you come to Christ. He was a loser then, right? Hallelujah. But he wants to spiritually keep you in diapers and a mess. He don't want you to grow. He don't want you to mature. But God is all about maturity. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to be dynamic. Hallelujah. He wants us to, you know, learn all that we can. He said, if any lack wisdom, just ask and He'll give it to us. And so, you know, we want revelation of God. It's good to be saved, but it's really good to lead other people to the Lord. You know, if somebody don't reach the people, they're going to burn in hell. If somebody hadn't reached us, we would have been going to burn in hell. Hallelujah. So thank God for, you know, we can't save people. It's only God that can save them. But we can certainly give them the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, spiritually speaking, the devil wants us to not grow, not to rebuild our temple. Hallelujah. And he'll use everything he can to hinder you, stop progress in rebuilding the temple. How many are ready to look at, through the book of Ezra, the ways that the temple was tried to be hindered from being rebuilt? Well, I think we can apply those to our lives. How the devil will try to hinder us from growing, to be mature, to be all God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Too many times we settle for less than God's best. So we're going to go back into the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They shouted. They was excited. Hallelujah. But, verse 12, but many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Here we see that the foundation was laid, but there was some people, you know, we talked about the 70 years in captivity, that there was people born that had never experienced the temple before. And so they come back, and when they saw the temple, the foundation was laid, they was excited about what God was doing. But there was some mature people, older folks, they remembered the former temple. And so while the younger crowd, the new converts, let's put it that way, they was excited, they was shouting, they was praising God, the older folks, they was crying because it's not the way we remember it. What we had before was greater than this. So the first hindrance we see is living in the past. How many have seen mighty moves of God? Yeah. We've seen it. We've seen God move sovereignly. We've seen people get saved. We got saved. We've seen people set free. We've seen people healed. We've seen people delivered. That was yesterday. But God don't always do the same thing again. When Jesus healed people, sometimes He laid His hands on. Sometimes He just spoke the word. One time He spit in the dirt and made some mud and put on somebody's eyes, and their eyes was healed. So we see that, you know, these ancient men, or we can say mature Christians, or people that's been Christians for a while, they've experienced the signs, the wonders, the miracles, but we can be bound by those things. We can think about the good old days. And God says, no. You got to stay with me. Don't live back there. I was God of those days. And it was good. But this is a new day. Just trust me. See, it's all about trusting God. If the devil can't use the bad things of your past to condemn you, He'll keep you stuck in the past about the good things. But God wants us to move on, to move with Him. How many remember the story of Lazarus? In John 11, 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if You had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She was remembering the times when Jesus healed these people and they didn't die. if you had been here. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, yes, I am the life. Now I want to show you that I am the resurrection. See, we can't just live in the past. We got to move on with God. God's an awesome God. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, here's Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. How many want to do one thing? Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul said, forgetting the past, the bad times, the good times, the failures, the success, just that was yesterday. And now he said, I press on. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to press on. Not to stop, but to press on. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 43:18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a good word. How many is dry and thirsty? God says he'll make rivers in the desert. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? So, don't be chained to the past. Let's move on with God.
Amen.
So that can be the first hindrance when we are rebuilding our temple. Moving on from the past. In verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now, there was some shouting, there was some weeping, and the people on the outside had no idea what was happening. What is going on? Are they excited? Are they discouraged? Are they disappointed? What is this all about? Sounds a lot like the voices in the world today. All kinds of voices. And you wonder, what are you saying? What are you talking about? Hindrance number two. Confusion. First Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. How many have ever experienced confusion in your life? How about thoughts? Yeah. Thoughts come. What is this all about? You know, the enemy likes to bombard our minds with these thoughts, these doubts, these fears. But God's a God of peace. Confusion will rob you. It'll stop you.
It'll do everything. Confusion.
Psalm 71:1. David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. When you're alone with God, is that ever your prayer? Before this stuff comes, do you ever pray that? Lord, in you alone I put my trust. Don't let this confusion come. Help me to stay on the straight and narrow. In everything, my thoughts, my actions, my life, my relationships. God, I don't want to be in confusion. I just want to be focused on you, God. Ezra 4:1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Now, did you get that? The adversaries heard that they was building the temple. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. So here they come. Here comes the adversaries. You know what an adversary is? It's not your friend. It's your enemies. And so they came, and they came to Zerubbabel, and they said, hey, we're here to help you. Something like the IRS. You get to knock on the door, and you open the door, and here's these two guys, and they say, we're from the IRS, and we're here to help you. Right. So here they are, and they want, they're offering to help. Well, it's like, say somebody's on drugs and they're getting free from the drugs and they're still drug buddies come and say, let us help you. Just what you need. Hindrance number three. Temptation to compromise. God hates compromise. Joshua said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose life or choose death. Choose life. Don't compromise. Every day, we have choices to make. What are we going to base our choices on? Are we going to base them on feelings? Are we going to base them on what other people say? Or are we going to base our choices on the Word of God? How many want to rebuild their temple? Yeah. Well, that's a big one. You can't compromise. You have to stand on the Word of God. You know when Satan came to Jesus and tempted him after he was in the desert 40 days fasting? What did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. That's, Jesus said, I'm not going to compromise.
I'm not going to be swayed. I'm not going to be moved. It is written.
How many read the Bible? How many pray? How many seek God's face? Do you know what's written in His Word? Do you know how big God is? Do you know how awesome a God we serve?
He's a big God.
He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, a lot of times, if we're not really, really careful, we'll have one foot in the world and one foot in God. In other words, we're straddling the fence. And God says, it's either all or nothing. Do you really want me? Do you want everything that I have for you? Do you want my very best? Or are you satisfied just to drift along? Verse 3, but Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land, these adversaries, weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So here the leadership said, we're not going to have anything to do with you. We draw the line. How many know that churches need good leadership that will draw the line and say, we're not going to compromise this? We're just going to stand on the Word of God. But their adversaries, they weakened the hands of the people. What does that mean? They brought discouragement. They discouraged the people. Number 4 hindrance was discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged? What comes after discouragement? Depression. Nobody wants to go there. The next thing in verse 5, and these adversaries, the people from around there, hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, even under the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So here they're, these adversaries, they just brought all this stuff, discouragement. They wanted to bring compromise. And now is the next hindrance. See, they said in verse 6, and they wrote unto him an accusation. So the hindrance is, the accuser brought accusation about the people of Judah. So they wrote these letters to the king of Persia,
And they brought these accusations against him.
In the book of Job, how many have read the book of Job? We see Satan had access to come before God. God says, where have you been? He said, I've been walking to and fro up and down the earth. What was he walking to and fro up and down the earth? He wanted to bring accusations before God.
He wanted to present his case before God about what he saw going on in the earth.
Revelation 12:10. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You have an adversary. We have an adversary, the devil. And he accuses us before God. It's like he's bringing his case into the courtroom. And he says, here's the evidence. Now, it may be false accusation, or if we get into sin, it could be the real deal. He could have something to legitimately accuse us of. You know, if we have sin that's unconfessed sin, that gives him the paperwork to present to God and say, they're sinning. If you have unforgiveness, you know the story about unforgiveness, where the man wouldn't forgive somebody and he's put in prison. Well, who put him in? Who allowed him to go to prison? The judge. God's the judge. And if there's evidence against us, you know, if we have unforgiveness, if we have bitterness, unforgiveness, and we refuse to forgive, God will turn us over to the jailer, and we will stay in prison until we deal with that thing. Now, it won't be a physical prison where you can see the bars, but it will be a spiritual prison. And you will not be able to move forward. You will not be able to build your temple because you're in prison. And we'll stay there until everything is dealt with. Now that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But God's a just God. See, we have a choice. God gives us choices. And God said, choose life. Don't you dare hold unforgiveness. Don't you dare hold bitterness against somebody. If you hold bitterness and unforgiveness about somebody, it's like you're in prison and they're in prison. There's a lot of stuff in this. And the way to deal with that is you gotta present your case before the judge. And your attorney's there. How many know you have an attorney in heaven? He's on your side. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's there to fight our fight, but we need to give him something to work with. He knows everything. And you can't come and say, Jesus, will you take my case here? And it's like, let me see, you have unforgiveness and bitterness, jealousy and stuff in there, and you want me to take your case? I don't think so. You're on your own in this, buddy. There's some criteria here that has to be met. You take care of that, and then we'll go for the gold. We'll fight, and we'll win. Hallelujah. So you gotta watch. This hindrance, don't you give anything for the devil to work with. Don't you allow the accuser to have anything against you. In other words, keep your accounts short. When your head touches that pillow at night, if not before, get right with God. You know, there are sins of omission and sins of commission. You know, the commission is what we do that we shouldn't have done. And the omission is things that we should have done and we didn't do. So we just come before God, and if we know, we say, God, I'm sorry. I repent of that. Shouldn't have done it. Give me mercy and grace and forgive me. In John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. There's that judge again. Faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. He's right there. He wants us to always come back. No matter how far we drift from God, he wants us to come back. He's always, always standing there with arms stretched out, and he's saying, come on back. Come on back, son. Come on back, daughter. I know where you've been. I know what you've been doing. I know you've been in the hog pen. Hallelujah. But come on back. I got the robe. I got the ring. Come on back. God's a good God.
Amen.
Now, how effective was these accusations? And if it was this effective here, think about how effective Satan's accusations are. Ezra 4:24, then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So here they are. They had sent these letters of accusation again and again. Cyrus died. That king died. Darius is there. And they're sending their accusations against him for about 16 years. About 16 years from laying that foundation until they finally complete the temple. How many have 16 years you just don't want? Anybody have 16 years of your life you don't want? If you do, I'll take them. Absolutely. Yeah. See, God wants us to complete our temple. He don't want us to fool around. He don't want us to be sidetracked on these things, but he wants us to bring us to maturity, to bring us to completion, bring us to fullness. Hallelujah. So for 16 years, and it was because of the accusations that their adversaries brought against them and their lukewarmness. Where do you get the lukewarmness? And because of their lukewarmness, there was a curse. And in Haggai, See, there's about maybe four books that took place in this time. In the book of Haggai, chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 4. Here they are, they're stopped. All progress is stopped. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Here's God speaking through the prophet Haggai, and he said, is it time for you to dwell in your houses while the temple lies waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, when it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. God says, I brought this drought. I brought this famine. I caused it not to prosper. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Revival came. It was like the book of Judges. Remember the book of Judges? Ups, downs. The people would leave God, and all the curses would come. All the stuff would come. And finally they would seek God. And God would come back. And God would prosper them. And as long as that judge was living, they was with God. When that judge died, then they would go back down. And so here we see that the people, the accuser came, they got lukewarm, and so here come this curse. God cursed their land, cursed their cattle. It was a curse on everybody because of that. So if we get lukewarm, guess what? God can't bless us. How many want to be on fire for God? I mean, really on fire for God. So excited for God that it just pours out of you. Just be like Peter. When you walk down the street, and get this, here's Peter. When he walked down the street, it was like his shadow. We know it wasn't his shadow, but the Spirit of God would touch people and they would be healed. How many want to be like that? carry so much of the glory of God that the miraculous happens.
God's good.
Hallelujah.
So, here's the hindrances. Number one, not willing to trust God in a new thing. Number two, confusion. Number three, temptation to compromise. Number four, discouragement. Number five, the accuser bringing accusation. And of course, we saw the curse was not going forward. So how many are ready to continue to rebuild your temple? How many think you need some help in your temple? I do. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. You know, our temple's our spirit, our soul, and our body. Everybody wants their spirit to be on fire for God, right? How about your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions?
Yep.
Are they in order? Are they the way God wants them to be? Do we have the mind of Christ? Working on it. How about our bodies? How many people are walking in total 100% health? I want to see hands. If your body is 100%, nothing lacking in your body, I want to see hands. I think there's something in all of us, you know, that in our physical bodies that could use some help. If we really look through God's eyes.
How many wear glasses?
Yeah, some people wear hearing aids. You know, some people take pills.
Come on, only take pills because they something wrong, right?
Hallelujah.
So, you know, God's will is that we walk in divine health.
It's great to be healed, but it's really great to walk in health.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. I don't like that stuff.
Here's what I want you to say. This is Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
That's right. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, turn to your neighbor and say Philippians 4:19. But my God, come on, you're declaring, you're decreeing things, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know our words have power?
Amen. Yes.
Our words have the power of death and life. So when you declare, when you decree things over people, you can't imagine the effect it's having in the spirit realm. See, when you are declaring something, just like you did to somebody, you declared and you decreed that your God shall supply all their needs. And when you declare and decree the word of God, there are angels released to bring it to pass. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord God. God, you're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. We love you, Father. Father, you are so awesome, God, that you would God, before the foundation of the world, Lord God, God, you designed these bodies to carry your glory, to be your temple, Lord God. God, beyond our imagination, Father, God, how could we carry such a big thing, God, in our bodies? But we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord God. And God, as we go forth, God, as we determine, Father, to press on, to be complete in you, Lord God, to fulfill all the plans and destiny you have for our life, Lord God. God, would you just help us? And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our guide. And so we thank you, Father. And God, we ask, Lord God, God, don't let anything hinder us, Father. God, open our eyes, open our ears, so we can hear what the Spirit is saying. And God, if there's any area, Father, God, that is hindering us from growing and maturing in you and being all that you've called and you've chosen us to be, God, may we deal with it, Father, in Jesus' name. God, we don't want to be stuck, Father. We don't want to be out in the swamp somewhere. We don't want to be mired down in quicksand, Father. But God, we want to be alive in you, Father. God, we just want to be, ambassadors for you, Father. God, we want to be holy and pure before you. God, you said be holy as I am holy. And God, we want that in our lives, Father. God, not just that it's unseen, but Father, may other people see, Lord God, you in us, Father. God, may they be drawn, Father. You said that we're the light of the world. And so, Father, may there be light in our bodies, Father. God, may there be so much life in our bodies, Father, God, that we're like Moses. We just glow, Father, with your glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, may it be, Father, that God, as we walk down the street, Father, with your glory, Lord God, God, that the people, God, they got to put sunglasses on because of your glory coming forth, Father. God, that's the way we want your temple, our bodies, to be, Father. God, we need your help, Father. And God, we cry out to you, Father. God, forgive us, Father, of anything, Lord God, in our lives, Father, that is hindering a move of your Spirit, Father. God, whether it's stuff in the past, Lord God, that we remember, Lord God, let us look to you, the God of today. Hallelujah. God, if it's confusion, Father, God, take away the confusion, Father. God, if it's the accuser, God, may his voice be silenced in Jesus' name, Father. God, if it's lukewarmness, Lord God, God, stir us up, Lord God. God, we want revival to come, Lord God. God, we see that it wasn't until your Spirit was stirred up that revival happened, that the building continued, Lord God. And God, we just love you. We praise you. We magnify your name in this place, Lord God. God, we expect great and mighty things, Lord God. God, we don't look to some mega church and see how great they are, Father. But God, we look at what you're doing here, Father. God, what you're going to do, Lord God. God, this is a house of hope, Father. And God, we believe, God, that you're bringing people in, Lord God. God, the broken, the shattered, Lord God, the torn, God, the castaways, Lord God, you're bringing them in, Lord God, and you're going to touch them, Lord God, you're going to heal them, Lord God, you're going to restore them, Lord God, because it's your will, Lord, it's your will that none perish, Lord God, hallelujah, but all come to repentance, Lord God, and so we believe, Lord God, God, that the drug addicts are coming in, Lord God. The alcoholics are coming in, Lord God. The prostitutes are coming in, Lord God. And God, it don't matter, Father. They're all your people, Lord God. God, you it's your will that none perish, Lord God. None, Lord God. God, we don't look at the color, Lord God. We don't look at how they fit into society, Lord God. God, when we see people, we see them through your eyes, Father. God, we see the lost, Lord God, is going to hell, Father. So God, stir us up, Lord God. God, give us that heart of compassion, Lord God. God, let love come in our heart, Lord God. God, that we not judge, Lord God. God, but God, we embrace, Lord God. And God, we just pour in love and pour in healing and pour in your word, Father. Oh God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Lord God. God, you are glorious. You are mighty in this place, Lord God. And God, we give you praise. We give you praise, Lord God. God, we're not going to stop praising. God, we're not going to let rocks cry out in our place, Lord God. But God, we're going to praise you, Lord God. We're going to praise you before we build. We're going to praise you while we're building. We're going to praise you when we see completion. And God, we're going to worship you through it all, Lord God. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Awesome God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So good, Lord God. So good, Lord God. Hallelujah, Father. God, may we see through your eyes, hear through your ears, Lord God. And God, may the words we speak be straight from your mouth, Lord God. God, we love you. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. God, may we be doers of your word and not hearers only, whereby we deceive ourselves. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for all that's in that passage of Scripture, Father. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for everyone that came out today, Father. God, they could have been anywhere else, Father, but they chose to come to your house, Father. They chose to come and praise you and worship you and to hear your word, Father. So God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I bless your people, Father, with all the blessings of Abraham, Lord God. God, may they go forth, Lord God, with might and with power, Lord God, and God, to slay the giants. Hallelujah. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.